Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Acts chapter 20. Now, we'll be back here in Acts for one chapter, and then we go to the book of Romans next time. And that's according to the schedule I'm following for these devotions, where we try to intersperse Paul's letters with the places where we think he wrote them in the book of Acts. So here's Acts 20 for today. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said goodbye to them and left for Macedonia. After traveling through that area and speaking many words of encouragement, he arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months. And when the Jews formed a plot against him as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. Paul was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy and Tychicus, and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us in Troas. And after the feast of unleavened bread, we sailed from Philippi, and 5 days later we rejoined them in Troas, where we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week we came together to break bread. Since Paul was ready to leave the next day, he talked to them and kept on speaking until midnight. Now there were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered, and a certain young man named Eutychus, seated in the window, was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. While he was sound asleep, he fell from the third story and was picked up dead. But Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and embraced him. "Do not be alarmed," he said. "He is still alive." Then Paul went back upstairs, broke bread, and ate. And after speaking until daybreak, he departed. And the people were greatly relieved to take the boy home alive. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, where we were to take Paul aboard. He had arranged this because he was going there on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. Sailing on from there, we arrived the next day opposite Chios. The day after that, we arrived at Samos, and on the following day, we came to Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, because he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they came to him, he said, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I arrived in the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, especially in the trials that came upon me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink back from declaring anything that was helpful to you, as I taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and Greeks alike about repentance to God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in town after town, the Holy Spirit warns me that chains and afflictions await me. But I consider my life of no value to me, if only I may finish my course and complete the ministry I have received from the Lord Jesus, the ministry of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have preached the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and the entire flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you and not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will rise up and distort the truth to draw away disciples after them. Therefore be alert and remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have ministered to my own needs and those of my companions. In everything, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When Paul had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept openly as they embraced Paul and kissed him. They were especially grieved by his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. This is God's word. As we read 2 Corinthians, we noted that Paul was coming to Corinth both to collect an offering for the believers in Jerusalem who were suffering, that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and secondly, to deal with those who were living in sin in the church at Corinth, that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Back here in Acts chapter 20, Luke noted that Paul did in fact go to Corinth, as he said he would in verses 1 through 3. Paul continued on to Jerusalem, stopping in Philippi according to verses 3 through 6, and Troas according to verses 7 through 12. Paul decided to travel by ship to Jerusalem, and that ship stopped in several places according to verses 13 through 15. Paul decided not to go back to Ephesus, where he had spent so much time back in Acts chapter 19. Instead, Paul called for the elders of the church at Ephesus to come to him, as we saw in verses 16 through 38. Paul's meeting with them was emotional because God had told him that he would suffer in Jerusalem, according to verses 22 and 23. And so, because of that, Paul expected that he would not see the Ephesians again, as we saw in verse 35 and again in verse 38. If you had spent several years of fruitful ministry in one city, but believed that you would never go back there again, what would you say to the people you had discipled and mentored and taught? Paul's message, which Luke recorded here in this chapter, is summed up in verse 31. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Paul knew that the church would face some difficult problems in the days ahead, as he said in verse 29. So Paul urged the elders in Ephesus to do the work of shepherding, to protect themselves and the flock, as we saw in verse 28. But what was Paul getting at when he said, "Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears"? That statement is, in essence, don't forget my teaching and my example. When false doctrine comes in, remember what I taught you. Stick to it, because it's God's word. Don't stray from it. That's essentially what Paul is saying. This is truth worth remembering. There's a lot of teaching out there, some that claims to be biblical and Christian, and some that makes no claim to be Christian, but does claim to be true. People sometimes get enamored with new ideas or attracted to big promises to change their lives in some way. If what you are learning is biblical, it will align with what you already know to be true from Scripture. If what you're learning, though, takes you away from the doctrines that you learned when you were saved and discipled, however, it's a trap that will hurt your spiritual life, not help it. So evaluate everything, and don't ever forget the gospel and the word of God that was taught to you when you became a believer and were discipled in the church. Although Paul was deeply concerned about what the church at Ephesus would face, he did not stay in Ephesus to try to protect the church all by himself. Instead, Paul expressed faith in God's own oversight of the church and in God's word. He wrote in verse 32 this, Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And again, that's verse 32 from the NIV. When people we lead to Christ move away, or our children grow up and come to faith in Christ, but then go out on their own, when that happens, we can become concerned about the many threats to their spiritual lives that they will encounter. And our concern is justified. It is good to be concerned. It's good to express our concerns in these situations and to urge believers that you love to watch themselves, just as Paul did in this chapter. However, it is impossible to control another person, so you can only do so much to try to protect their faith and their doctrine. Instead of being fearful, at some point, we must release them and trust God to do what we can't do. Paul ended his time with the Ephesian elders in this chapter in prayer, according to verse 36. And we know from Paul's letters how earnestly he prayed for the spiritual life of all the believers and the churches. And this is the best way for you and me to care spiritually for those we cannot be with physically and directly. The best way for us to care for them is to pray for God's continued work in their lives, to pray for their protection from sin and from false doctrine, and to pray for God to watch over their spiritual lives. Are you sending a kid off to college soon? Do you have a young adult child who is moving to a different area of the country to start a new life? Do you know anyone who is leaving our church or another good church, but there's uncertainty about where they will go? Pray for them. Warn them, sure, and express your love for them and your concern for them, but trust God to watch over them. Pray daily for them to walk with him. There's really nothing better that you can do for another person spiritually than to pray for them and ask for God to work in their lives. If you found this devotional helpful, go to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, and enter your email address there to receive a free daily email subscription to these devotionals. That same page on my website will show you also how you can subscribe to these devotionals as a podcast in Apple Podcasts and in Spotify. And if you can help me with financial support, please go to dailypbj.com/support. And thank you to all of you who support me on a monthly basis. I really appreciate your partnership in this work. And may the Lord bless you and bless the work that we're doing together. Please share this with someone else. And I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.